For years now, Survivor Series has been Raw versus SmackDown. That has been the gimmick that WWE has gone with for this pay-per-view for a very long time. It was a tired concept that lost its appeal a very long time ago. The idea that Survivor Series was the one night a year that you get to see the stars from Monday Night Raw wrestling the stars from Friday Night SmackDown, it was so laughable. I almost admire the balls on them to constantly lie to their audience every year and peddle the bullshit that it was somehow the one night a year where it would feel special to see Raw versus SmackDown, because you and I both know that that's horseshit. We get it all the time. It rendered the whole appeal of brand warfare at Survivor Series moot a very long time ago. Survivor Series no longer felt special. This is WWE's second oldest event, second oldest major event, second only to WrestleMania. The very first Survivor Series go all the way back to 1987. And no longer did it feel worthy of its status as one of the big four annual events. Money in the Bank had really taken its place. For the most part, Money in the Bank became one of the big annual shows, more so than Survivor Series. And it never should have been that way. 20 years ago, Triple H wanted to bring War Games to Survivor Series. And Vince McMahon said no. He thought that War Games was too WCW, which of course he would have felt that way because he didn't create it. It wasn't his idea. It wasn't his concept. So of course we couldn't have that at Survivor Series. It wasn't any good. It took 15 years, but Triple H finally brought War Games to NXT. He was able to bring it there, kind of give it a trial run. NXT was his playground. It was his baby. So he can pretty much do whatever he wanted to. And when Vince McMahon finally stepped down this summer as the chairman and the head of creative in WWE, and Triple H stood in and took his place and took over, he finally had the opportunity to take Survivor Series and make Survivor Series fun again. Make Survivor Series feel special, make Survivor Series feel truly unique, and make Survivor Series feel the way that it used to feel, you know, back when I grew up watching Survivor Series. And the elimination matches were a novel concept. It wasn't the sort of thing that you could just see on television every week like you can today. You know, I get why they can't just go back and do nothing but elimination matches anymore, because it is a dated concept and you can't have an entire show filled with them. I get that. But I've wanted Survivor Series to mean something for so long, and Triple H has finally taken a large step tonight in restoring Survivor Series as one of the special annual events in WWE. We had in the main event tonight, the Bloodline, Roman Reigns, Solo Sikoa, the Usos, and the honorary Us Sami Zayn, stepping into the ring to do battle with Drew McIntyre, Kevin Owens, Sheamus, Ridge Holland, and Butch. The Bloodline has been dominant. Some people are sick and tired of the Bloodline. They've been dominant for so long. But they've been telling this story with Sami Zayn now for a while. And people didn't know what to expect coming into tonight. Is this going to be the night? Right? Is this it for Sami Zayn? Is the Bloodline going to turn on him? Are they going to leave him in a bloody pulp in the middle of the ring? What's going to go down? How much longer are they going to drag this story out for? I've enjoyed this story so much, it would be a sin to end it right now. Even though the visual of Sami Zayn being beaten down in the two rings and the big cage, right, it would have been this great visual, it's not the right time for it. I want them to drag this out a little bit longer. There's still more of this story to be told. Tonight, what we had in the main event, it wasn't that it was the greatest War Games match I've ever seen. It wasn't. Neither of the War Games matches tonight were anything close to the greatest War Games matches that I have ever seen. But what we got in the main event was something more important than any hold. It was more important than any dive off the top of the cage. It was more important than any other single factor, any weapon, any table, kendo stick, chair, anything that was introduced into any of these matches. It was about the story. It was about the story of Sami Zayn being accepted finally, officially, into the Bloodline as a member of the family, how they went about telling that story with Owens and Zayn. And Zayn proving his worth and proving his loyalty to the bloodline, as he told Roman Reigns tonight that he was going to do. He kicked Kevin Owens in the balls, he kicked Kevin Owens in the face, and he gave up his best friend, the best man at his wedding. 25 years these two have been thick as thieves. He gave him up as a sacrificial lamb for Jey Uso to hit the Uso splash and get the win for the bloodline. And we saw Jey Uso, the biggest moment of the night, the biggest pop of the entire show, was for a hug. It was a hug that Jey Uso gave Sami Zayn when this match was over. In a lot of ways, even though this has been going on for so long, it feels like this story is just beginning after what we saw tonight. I cannot say enough good things about the storytelling at the end of that main event. What I thought was a very good War Games match was elevated with that finish to excellent status. I loved what they did at the end of this pay-per-view tonight. We also had a women's War Games match that I thought was pretty good. Again, not by any means the best War Games match I've ever seen. Not even the best women's War Games match. I couldn't tell you what year it was, but I know I've seen better from NXT. But they went out there and they worked hard. And here's the thing. When it was over, it's not just about working hard. I mean, everybody works hard. I mean, that can't be the only criteria. Every fucking person where I work hard. But when the match was over, it's War Games, right? You know you're not going to get blood. There was no blood. The only blood we had on the show tonight was accidental blood from Bobby Lashley in the triple threat match. That's the only blood we had on the show tonight. But when that match was over, those women, as they were standing there, looked like they were in a fucking fight. They looked like they were in a war. They had welts all over their body. So it looked like they were in an actual war. And that's what War Games should be about. So I thought both War Games matches were actually very good. And the main event delivered in spades on the story. We got a lot to talk about when it comes to that. Because now it has me second-guessing even some of the things that I have been pitching as far as the road to WrestleMania. I am of the mindset that you stay the course. You stay the course with what you have planned. But I will tell you that as over as Sami Zayn is right now, it does have me questioning whether or not, you know, we got Royal Rumble coming up. We'll talk about all that here. But we had a triple threat match for the United States Championship, which I actually thought as a match, probably even now that I've seen the main event, was probably the best match on the entire show in terms of just purely the match itself. A very, very good United States Championship match. The polar opposite of what we got with the SmackDown Women's Championship. And I sit here and I tell you, the SmackDown Women's Championship match between Ronda Rousey and Shotzi may have been the worst women's championship match on a pay-per-view that I have ever seen. It was awful. Just an absolutely terrible match with a little clue when it was over, if you were paying attention to what Ronda Rousey was mouthing to the crowd, a little clue about who her next challenger might be. And I know some of you are going to be very upset about that. So we have a lot to unwrap here. This is your WWE Survivor Series 2022 review. I am the Solemn Monster. Super chats are open. I'm looking for at least 500 likes on this video tonight. Last I checked, we were at least halfway there, maybe more. So we shouldn't have any issue hitting the goal tonight. I want you to hit that thumbs up button, smash it. And if we get there, you know what that means. We'll be playing some Be the Booker a little bit later on tonight. But get those super chats on in. If you have thoughts on the pay-per-view tonight, on the Bloodline story, Sami Zayn, did you like what you saw? Did you not like what you saw? Were you bored by what you saw? Questions for me, send them on in, and I will be acknowledging you and reading them here on the stream a little bit later on. Now, I don't know, because it's kind of tough with the lighting. I don't know if you could tell behind me, over my shoulder here. But I have some new artwork up on the wall, right over there. Got a new painting on the wall. I want to change things up a little bit. And I know it, you see some of the colors, but it's kind of hard to see. I just want to give them a shout out. This is actually the image that is up on my wall. And I love this painting. And I want to give a shout out to Nick Fluke. This is a Nick Fluke painting. He does quite a few of these. But I love the color in this. this, and it's called Crossroads. You see a little spaceman there. You don't know which door. It's almost like portals to different dimensions. You don't know which one he's going to choose. I just thought it looked great. So anyway, for those of you who are having trouble seeing exactly what that is over my shoulder, that is some new artwork here, right? We gotta freshen things up a little bit. So let's get into this, because again, the first time that we have had War Games here on the main roster. Been waiting a very long time for this. Survivor Series opened with Michael Cole and Corey Graves with the old school stand-up at ringside, introducing us to the match that Dusty Rhodes himself created, our first of two War Games matches tonight, this being the women's War Games match. On one side, we had Becky Lynch, who just returned from her shoulder injury on SmackDown last night, teaming up with Bianca Belair, Asuka, Alexa Bliss, and Mia Yim. On the other side, we had Rhea Ripley, we had Bayley, we had Dakota Kai, we had Io Sky, and Nikki Cross. Two rings, one cage, two smaller cages on the stage to hold all the wrestlers who do not start the match, because we only start with two. The match does not officially begin until all 10 women in this case have entered. Then it's the first pinfall or submission to win the match for their team. Bianca Belair started things out for her team. Dakota Kai started things out for hers. This was her fourth War Games match. Rhea Ripley was over in her team's cage doing pull-ups with the bars on the roof of the cage. So 5 minutes to start, and then each time somebody new enters the match, it's 3 minutes. And then a new person enters until everybody has entered, and only then does the bell ring and the match beyond officially begin. So those are the rules for War Games. Not terribly different than it used to be, a little bit different. Obviously, the old school War Games matches had a roof on the cage. Now they don't have a roof. And Triple H has talked about this. He talked about this back in the NXT days when he first brought War Games back. You know, and he explained that times are different now. People like to do dives and big moves off the tops of cages. So you want to keep the cage open so people can fly. It's just the way wrestling is now, right? People have to fly. So that's one of the major changes of War Games now as compared to how it would have been, you know, 30 or 40 years ago. So Bianca and Dakota, they traded control back and forth before the buzzer. It was Bianca powerbombing Dakota hard into the side of the cage. The countdown hit zero, and it was Io Sky out of the shark cage first. That gave her team the two-on-one advantage. If you remember, Rhea pinned Asuka on Monday night, so that gave the heels the advantage in this match. So Bianca was having a tough time fighting him off. There was a hilarious botch, and there were a few rough spots here in this women's War Games match, but there was a hilarious botch here. And I love Io, and Io usually is dead on with this move. It's a very basic move where she gets her opponent down in the corner, and she will grab the top rope, propel herself up into the air, and then her knees will come crashing down into her opponent's face or chest, like a meteor, kind of. Well, she tried this not once, but twice. She couldn't quite do it. She tried it two different times. The second time, when she kind of hurled herself up into the air, it was almost like in slow motion, and her weight sort of carried her. I don't know, because maybe she stalled, her weight carried her over, and she almost like fell over the top rope. She had to reposition herself. Twice this happened. Eventually, she was able to finally hit the move. That's one that she's going to wish she could have back. So finally, Bianca got some help because Asuka was in next. A shout out to Trevon Birch dropping the super chat. I saw Tony Contana out of the corner of my eye. Tony's having a hell of a night. Tony saw Triple H put a tweet out earlier on, a video with William Regal. All the ways William Regal used to say, War Games. And it's got Tony very, he's on edge. He's very paranoid now about what this means. Triple H misses his buddy. Triple H misses his buddy. Triple H looks at that and says, how the hell could you fire William Regal, you old fuck? How could you get rid of Regal? As soon as Regal is free, you know he's on his way back. So Asuka was in next. We got a face-off between Asuka and Io in the crowd. You know, gave them some nice applause for this. They were looking forward to this. Bianca military pressed Dakota into the cage. Asuka took out Io with a missile dropkick. 10 seconds and counting, it was Nikki Cross into the match next. And she immediately went under the ring and pulled out a kendo stick. So she was the first person here in either of the War Games matches tonight to reach for the plunder. And I have to say, because I saw some comments in the chat here as I went live tonight, I don't disagree. I don't disagree with this. Shout out to Kells for becoming a Sound of Legend. Memberships, by the way, I never mentioned this. Memberships are open. If you want to become a channel member, you can do so. You got two tiers, so go check it out. See the join button. Should be a white join button below this video. Shout out to Kells. But I saw people talking about how, man, you know, they really have to cut back on the plunder and the weapons and stuff. For better or worse, I mean, that's one of the changes with War Games now. It's not just a matter of bringing a weapon into the cage. We had people in the old school War Games matches even using, you know, weapons in certain situations. But it wasn't the constant stream of, all right, let's bring in a table. Let's bring in a ladder. Let's bring in a chair. Let's bring in a kendo stick. Let's bring in a trash can lid. Let's bring in this. Let's bring in that. And this, but here's the thing. This is the problem when you have two War Games matches on the same show. In a perfect world, you would not have two War Games matches. You just wouldn't do it. You would have one. One War Games match is all you need. Now, I understand why they do it. If the men are going to have one, why not the women? And I say that if there's a story for it, then fine. But when you do that, and it's the same spots, when you're repeating the same stuff in the opening match and in the closing match, it gets old. The same people coming out grabbing the same weapons, right? They didn't really do anything any different with it. So yeah, it gets tiresome, I agree. But that's just the nature of these War Games matches now. You know, they have to rely on all these gimmicks. They have to rely on all the smoke and mirrors because I guess they just feel like the match would be boring without it. I would argue that the match can be just as boring with them. Focus less on hitting people on the head with a garbage can lid and take a look at what they did in that main event. If you have a great story, you don't need all that bullshit. And this is a long-term story in the main event, so you're not going to always have a story like the Bloodline one that's going on right now with Sammy. But I'll take story, you know, 10 times out of 10 over just mindless, random fucking weapons being thrown around. So I get it. I get the people who were tired of it. Hey, I want to give a shout out to Bill Baggins, who gifted a channel membership, which was very nice of him. So thank you, Bill. Bill gifted a channel membership to Ed Weber. It is the season of giving here on YouTube. So you can also gift memberships to people. There you go. So she pulled out a kendo stick. She pulled out two kendo sticks. She pulled out two trash can lids. Asuka came over to see what was going on. Nikki slammed the cage door on her head and then went back to pulling out plunder. She wasn't done. The crowd wanted tables. They didn't get tables, and so they were very upset, and they booed. It's so nice to have crazy Nikki back and not this superhero bullshit that just went on for far too long. And she was treading water for so long, it was just so corny and hokey, and she just wasn't going anywhere. Now, I don't know what happened to Doudrop. I assume Triple H is just sort of hiding her away for a while, and she'll reappear with her name, right? Either Piper Niven or Viper, you know, one of those. Probably Piper Niven. And that's what they're going to... Because I know she's talked about how she has had conversations with Triple H about getting her name back. So I assume that's what they're doing with her. But the whole almost a superhero thing, it just went on for so long, so it's nice to have Nikki Cross back as, you know, crazy Nikki. So she hammered away on the baby faces with the garbage can lids. The heels had the advantage until Alexa Bliss came to the ring, but Alexa Bliss almost did not make it into the ring, because as Alexa Bliss was running down to the ring, she got caught up in the cameraman's cord and had to go under the cord. So she almost didn't make it inside the cage. But finally, she got in. She got overwhelmed pretty quickly. Team Bianca took out the heels, though, with kendo sticks. Nikki Cross climbed up to the top of the cage, and she sat there watching from above. She was observing all the chaos down below. She was laughing. She was smiling like a crazy person. Then she hit a crossbody off the top of the cage, the first big dive of the night. wiped out everybody, including, I think, some of her own partners. Bailey was out next from her cage, and she immediately pulled out a ladder from under the ring, and she brought it inside. She grabbed a second ladder, and Dakota helped drag it into the ring. Dakota had red welts all over her back, probably from being slammed into the side of the cage so many times. Bailey finally pulled out a table, and that got the first big pop of the night. In fact, I think the table probably got the second biggest pop of the entire show after Jey Uso hugging Sami Zayn at the end of the night. Jey and Sami get the number one spot. The table, I think, gets the number two spot for biggest crowd reaction of the night. So the heels pinned Bianca up against the cage between the two rings using the table. They had her pinned there. She couldn't move. Then they took turns working over Asuka and Alexa in the second ring. Mia Yim was out next. They are still calling her Mia Yim. They're using Meechin as the nickname, not her actual name. She took the time to pull out three garbage cans. So we didn't have enough garbage cans and garbage can lids. We needed more. As she was trying to throw the garbage cans through the door into the ring, they kept falling out. She wasn't able to get them through. She was getting very frustrated. But eventually she got her garbage cans into the ring. Meanwhile, her team is getting obliterated. And this is also one of those really just stupid fucking things that annoyed me. Her team is getting obliterated inside these two cages, right? They're fighting for their lives. Mia Yim comes down to the ring. And you already have weapons and just, you know, plunder and stuff strewn about all of the rings inside, right? You've got plenty of weapons to choose from once you get inside. Instead, while her team is getting killed, oh, let me go under the ring and find more crap to bring inside. And then, you know what? One is not enough. Let me get a second one. Let me get a third one. I mean, it's ridiculous. What kind of partner is she? They're getting killed. Go inside and help them. I thought that was very dumb. As if there isn't enough furniture laying around. You need more. So they did a spot where Bianca hit a superplex from one corner. Mia Yim hit one from another corner. Alexa hit one from another corner. Asuka hit a German out of a fourth corner. So it wasn't stereo, but it was one right after the other, until everybody was laid out. Everybody was down. Until, that is, Rhea Ripley made her way down to the ring. Rhea Ripley was the final entrant for Team Bayley, which only left Becky Lynch as the one lone person left to enter the match. Rhea immediately started kicking ass. She got Asuka locked in the prism trap. That's the inverted cloverleaf that she does. Io started running the ropes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, about four or five times before she finally hit the basement drop kick to Asuka's head. Team Bianca are in real trouble at this point. Finally, it was Becky Lynch's turn to enter. They rang the bell once she was inside, and they announced, "Let the war games begin." It is now the match beyond. So the match officially started. Becky put a trash can over Io's head and delivered a drop kick from the middle rope. She looked over into the second ring, and she locked eyes with Bayley. And she climbed into the second ring. She called Bayley a bitch, and she motioned for her to come fight her. You know, out of all the horsewomen, that's the one program that we never got. We never got a program between Bayley and Becky Lynch, right? We've seen different combinations of all the other ones. Bayley and Charlotte, Sasha and Charlotte, Sasha and Bayley, Sasha and Becky. But I can't ever remember there be, and maybe there's a random match on TV, but I can't remember an actual program with Becky and Bayley. So she kicked Bayley's ass, and then she turned around, and there was Rhea Ripley. And she hit Becky with the Riptide, and we got our first pin attempt of the match. Asuka, though, made the save. Asuka then misted Rhea right in the face, and Rhea was blinded. She was swinging wildly. Becky planted her with a DDT. Bayley hit the rose plant to Becky on the diamond plate in between the two rings. Dragged her over, tried to pin her, but again, Asuka was there to make the save, because Asuka is a real teammate who actually gives a shit about her partners. Bianca tried to bring down all six women in a Tower of Doom spot. Nikki, though, hit her with a kendo stick before she could do it. There was a scary spot here, and I don't know what they were trying. It almost looked like maybe they were trying some kind of a Rana spot that just midway through, they realized, okay, that's not going to work. So Bianca was going to try to powerbomb Bayley, but she powerbombed Bayley, and it looked like she almost broke her neck. Bayley looked, she's okay, she's fine, but it looked scary there for a couple of seconds. Io hit a moonsault from the top of the cage onto Bianca and Mia, which is something we've seen her do before in one of the old NXT War Games matches, so not the first time that we have seen Io come flying off the top of the cage like that. Nikki Cross pulled out a pair of handcuffs, and she cuffed her former partner, Alexa Bliss, and I guess she was trying to, I think she was trying to cuff her to the top rope or to the cage. Alexa was trying to fight her on it, and Alexa ended up attaching the other end of the cuffs to Nikki's arm, so now they were cuffed together. And Alexa hit an electric chair. Now, I think the idea, another spot gone wrong here, I think the idea was that Alexa would have her on her shoulders and would drop her backward. Well, obviously, clearly that was the spot. She was going to drop Nikki backwards, and Nikki would land on top of the garbage can. Well, she overshot the garbage can, and Alexa fell backwards and dropped herself back first onto the garbage can. Nikki completely missed the garbage can. So that didn't work out the way that she envisioned it. Ripley went for the riptide on Mia Yim, who countered into a sleeper hold. Rhea fell backwards, drove Mia through a ladder in the corner that broke in half. We then had a standoff with Becky and Bianca and Damage Control, just like things ended at the end of the Becky-Bianca match at SummerSlam when Damage Control first debuted together on TV. So we had a little standoff in the ring here. Becky hit Dakota with the manhandle slam. Bianca hit Io with the KOD. They laid Rhea Ripley and Io both on top of a table as Becky Lynch began to ascend to the top of the cage. Bianca picked up Bayley and gave her a KOD into the side of the cage. That took care of Bayley. And Becky Lynch came flying off the top of the cage with a leg drop. Honestly, you look at it back on the replay, it was more of a whoopee cushion, like Doink used to hit. It was more of a whoopee cushion than it was a leg drop. We'll call it a leg drop, though. Hit the leg drop through the table to win the War Games match for her team. I thought, you know, there were obviously a bunch of rough spots in this match. And there were points in the middle where it was just kind of dull, and I got tired of, you know, all the weapons being brought in. On the whole, though, I thought it was good. I would not say it was great. It was not a great War Games match by any means. It was good. It was a good match, I thought. There were a few ugly spots, but overall I thought it was fine. But it just kind of felt like it was treading water until Becky finally got in. Once Becky got in and they said, okay, now the War Games begins, and they rang the bell, that's where things started to pick up. The most memorable parts obviously being Io's moonsault off the top and Becky's dive through the table. They gave him a long time. They went 40 minutes. I think this actually might have gone longer than the main event. I did not check the time of the main event because I was trying to wrap things up so I can go live. But somebody can do a time check for me. I think that this one may have actually gone longer than the main event. So they all took a beating. And I appreciated that when it was over, it looked like these women had gone through hell. That's what War Games should be. When the match is over, you should look like you have just been in the fight of your life. And that is what these women look like at the end of this match. Because, you know, there's no blood. So it's tough. You know, in a match like this, if you're an old school wrestling fan, you have those visions of, you know, the cage being the most vicious, most dangerous, deadly contraption that there is, and blood streaming down people's faces. And you're just not going to get that now. Unless it's accidental blood, you're just not going to get it. So what else can you do to make it feel and look like, you know, these people have been in a car wreck when this thing is over? I thought they did a good enough job of that. It's bad news for Damage Control, though, because Damage Control cannot seem to win the big one. You know, they have the women's tag team titles, but, I mean, who gives a shit? But in the big matches that they have been in, I mean, look at Bayley, right, in Saudi Arabia, that last ladder match that she had with Bianca, she comes out a loser. Tonight, Damage Control comes out losing. So not a good sign, I think, for Damage Control. So they recap the Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens segment from SmackDown last night, where Owens cornered Sami in the hallway right outside the Bloodline locker room. Jey Uso was eavesdropping and listening to their conversation at the door. unbeknownst to them, they did not know about it. We come back live, and Jey Uso tells Roman Reigns that he has something he wants to talk to him about. He says, "I knew from day one that Sami Zayn could not be trusted. I knew that we could not trust this guy." And he said that the reason why they lost the main event last night for the man advantage was Sami Zayn. He's the reason why they lost that match. He said he heard the conversation that Sami had with KO. He said the only reason that he didn't take care of Sami last night is because Roman did not give the order. Had Roman given the order, he would have gladly taken out Sami Zayn. And he wanted to know what they were going to do about it. And Roman was pretty amused by this whole we thing. What are we going to do about it? He goes, "I'm the one who gives out the orders around here." So he told Jey to focus on tonight. He says, "I'm going to look into Sami's eyes, and I'm going to find out where his loyalty lies." So they bumped fists, and Jey left the room, and Roman told the wise men to go get Sami in here, and Paul Heyman dialed up Sami Zayn's phone number to call him into the office. We had AJ Styles with the OC in his corner, Karl Anderson and Luke Gallows, taking on Finn Balor, who had Damian Priest and Dominic in his, only the second match that these two men have ever had. Coming into tonight, this was an amazing stat. Could not believe this when I first heard this. Coming into this show tonight, AJ Styles had not won a singles match on a WWE pay-per-view since Crown Jewel in 2019. A show where he wrestled Humberto Carrillo, who I sure as fuck would hope that AJ Styles could beat in a pay-per-view match. You'd have to go back more than 3 years to find the last time AJ Styles won a singles match on a pay-per-view. That is an amazing stat to me. Dominic got involved in this match pretty early on. He tripped up AJ on the apron. He took a face-first bump on the apron. And Dominic paid the price for it. Anderson and Gallows went after him. Damian Priest came over to join in the brawl, and they spilled out into the crowd. So that left AJ and Balor alone in the ring to have their match without any interference and without any distraction. Balor was having issues with his left leg. AJ had been working over the leg. He gave him a dragon screw earlier in the match. Balor went to give Styles the Styles Clash. AJ, though, while he was hanging upside down, reaches down, grabs Balor's leg, and manages to reverse out of it. He hit the Pele kick. Balor got one of his own. Both men were down. Balor picked up Styles. He went for some kind of move. Styles, though, flipped over onto his feet, landed on his feet in a position where he had him hooked for a inverted DDT for a near fall. I thought that was very cool. Styles went up top. He rolled through after Balor avoided a 450 splash attempt. Balor went for the coup de grace. Styles rolled out of the way, and Balor sold the bad knee. AJ put Balor in the calf crusher. And Balor was teasing that this could be it, right? There was nobody there to save him. He was right in the middle of the ring. He was screaming in agony. AJ was wrenching back on that leg as far back as he possibly could. But he started to lean back so deep that Balor reached up. He grabbed a hold of Styles' head, and he started smashing his head repeatedly into the mat. That's the same spot that Brock Lesnar used in his match with AJ at the Survivor Series many years ago. Which is still one of my favorite Survivor Series matches of all time. Brock Lesnar against AJ Styles. With a great finish, too. When AJ did the springboard off the ropes, he was going for the phenomenal forearm, and Brock, on one bad wheel, caught him in midair, hit the F5. What a great match. What a great fucking match. Brock Lesnar has had some great Survivor Series matches. Back-to-back years with AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan. Even the match with Rey. He had a match with Rey Mysterio that actually was pretty good, too. So both men traded punches and chops in the middle of the ring. Styles caught Balor with a step-up enziguri. Styles went for a move. Balor, though, shot him over the top rope. Styles threw punches at Balor from the apron, and then he nailed the phenomenal forearm, and he pinned him. And I was thinking, man, how much cooler would this finish have been if AJ would have hit that move from the top rope in the second ring, right? It's only a couple of feet over, but I wish he would have done it from the second ring. That would have made it even better. I thought this was a very good match, as it was. It's a step below their match from TLC a few years ago, and the crowd was not as into this as they were their first match. So that kind of hurt the match a little bit too, but I thought the work here was really good. And finally, AJ wins a match. He wins a singles match on pay-per-view. He should be hitting the town with his OC buddies tonight, drinking sake all night long and celebrating. He needed that win. But so did Balor. I had picked Balor to win because I thought this would be a big win for the Judgment Day. Balor didn't win. I don't think this is the end of this feud between the OC and the Judgment Day. By any means, I don't believe that this program is over here between the two sides. And honestly, even though they lost tonight, right? Balor lost clean in the middle of the ring. Dominic, Priest, they end up being chased away into the crowd. That segment alone, the Thanksgiving segment with Dominic and Rhea going to Rey Mysterio's house and beating the crap out of him on Thanksgiving, was enough to just redeem the Judgment Day this week, regardless of what happened here in this match. Just that one segment alone redeemed them. Doesn't even matter what happened tonight. It bought them, it curried some more favor with me for a while. That was the greatest thing I saw all week, was that segment. That was fantastic. Then we had Ronda Rousey with Shayna Baszler in her corner against Shotzi for the SmackDown Women's Championship, and this would be basically the opposite of fantastic. Fantastic is not a word I would use for this match. At any point, on any planet, in any galaxy, in any dimension, fantastic would not be a word I would use to describe this match. This was one of the worst women's championship matches that I have ever seen on a pay-per-view. I cannot write it off completely because of the comedic relief that it provided me at different points during the match. There was one point in particular where I laughed out loud. So at least something came out of it, but this was no good. Shotzi went for a suicide dive early on. Baszler shoved Rousey out of the way, and she took the bullet for her friend. So she ate the suicide dive. Shotzi stood up. She ran Ronda into the ring steps, got back inside. Shotzi spotted Shayna on the apron, kicked her off. Shotzi went for a top rope crossbody block. Rousey, though, caught her in midair and slammed her, which did not look good, but it looked better on the replay. For whatever reason, you know, during the live showing, it looked like Shotzi went for a move, hit the move, and then sold it like she was hurt, and Ronda popped up, and it didn't make any sense. When they showed the replay and they slowed it down in slow-mo, you could see that Ronda kind of caught her in midair and did like a judo throw and you know, flipped her over, and it looked better. But watching this live, it didn't look good. So at this point, Rousey is just toying with her. It's like a cat with a mouse, right? It doesn't want to kill the thing. It just wants to fucking bounce it around. And that's basically what she was doing to Shotzi here. She put her in an ankle lock. Shotzi stood up, hit a leaping enziguri to break the hold. Rousey was just mauling this woman, and she put her in a submission hold over the ropes and then released the hold before the referee's five count. Shotzi caught Rousey with a punch, and you would think this was like a Logan Paul punch at Crown Jewel when they were trying to sell the idea that all it takes is one lucky punch. Logan Paul might actually beat Roman Reigns with a punch, which you knew was just fucking bullshit. But they sold this punch from Shotzi like It was her finishing move. And that's their job, right? They're being told to, or they're just trying to go above and beyond and act like Shotzi has a chance, even though you and I both know, if you're watching this right now or later on, if you're listening to this and you tell me that, hey, Shotzi had a shot, man. She had a shot at winning that SmackDown Women's Championship. I would say put down the crack pipe, because you and I both know that this woman had absolutely sub-zero chance of walking out of here with that champion, which was part of the problem with this match coming in, right? And I'm not against the idea of building up fresh faces to step in to wrestle Ronda Rousey, even though we've seen this match once before. But, you know, Shotzi is someone different than anybody that Ronda has feuded with before. So that's not even my issue with this. My issue with this is that this did not even belong on this pay-per-view. And at no point in the build-up to this match did they do anything to convince any of us that this woman had even a remote possibility of walking out of here as the SmackDown Women's Champion. And that's on Triple H and Creative and WWE to convince us in the build-up to Survivor Series that Shotzi is a a viable challenger. At no point did Shotzi ever come off as a viable challenger. So that already handicapped this match coming in from the beginning. But listening to the announcers lose their shit over a punch was just ridiculous. So Shotzi tried for a top rope tornado DDT. When I say top rope, they were standing by the ropes. It was like the middle of the rope. She just climbed up, and I could already see this was going to a bad place. Before she even hit the move, I said, this is not going to end well. This is an ill-advised move. Don't do this. Climbs up to the top rope, and I have no idea what she's about to do. And it looked like she went for a tornado DDT, where she would come over the top rope and DDT her on the apron, right? And it's going to look great. That was the idea behind it. She went for this DDT, and it was so badly botched that the announcers spent the next, I'd say, 20 to 30 seconds on commentary trying to explain that, you know, sometimes you take chances in life and things just don't work out. That's like Jim Ross with the bowling shoe ugly reference. Whenever you would hear Jim Ross drop a bowling shoe ugly reference, you knew, like, there's nothing that could be done to save what we just saw. So even Jim Ross is like, yeah, I got nothing. That was pretty terrible. But hey, bless the announcers for at least trying to explain to us that sometimes you take chances and, hey, life doesn't go your way. But honestly, you know, it looked to be mostly on Ronda in taking the move. She just didn't, you know, take it the right way. But I'm not putting all this on Ronda Rousey. It was a stupid move to try to even begin with. It should not have even been tried. Baszler got involved at ringside. Shotzi took her out. Apparently, this was a no disqualification match, and nobody told us because Shayna Baszler was interfering at will, and the referee at no point bothered to eject this woman. We were watching SmackDown last night, right? The main event of the show. All the men were fighting for the man advantage in the War Games match. And Kevin Owens rolled Sami Zayn into the ring, who happened to have a championship belt with him, but he rolled Sami into the ring. The referee ejected Sami Zayn from ringside. All I'm saying is, if you're going to do stuff like this, at least be consistent with it. It's like the instant replay thing. How many of you remember that one pay-per-view match? I couldn't even tell you what the match was. It might have been Del Dipshit and Ziggler, Alberto Del Dipshit and Dolph Ziggler. I don't remember, but there was one match on a WWE pay-per-view where there was a decision rendered. Another referee came out. They said, no, 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 no. You missed what happened. And they literally pulled a monitor out from under the ring, hooked it up, and the referee went outside the ring and stood there and watched the replay to see what he missed. And I thought to myself, this has never happened in the history of WWE. Is this going to be a new thing now from now on? I cannot remember a single time after that where they ever did something like that again. It's just ridiculous. So anyway, this woman was all over the place. Apparently, she was able to do whatever she wanted. Shotzi dumped Rousey and then Baszler over the barricade into the front row. And now Shotzi decides to climb up onto the barricade. She climbs up onto the barricade and she is going to do a dive into the front row onto Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler. She dives onto them, and the idea was they're going to fall backwards. They're you know, they land on these men in the front row, and they're going to fall backwards in their chairs, and everybody's going to fall over, right? They did fall over eventually, but it was in slow motion. It took forever for them to fall back, so it was the slowest fall backwards that you've ever seen. And I literally laughed out loud. Like, it looked so preposterous to me that I just laughed out loud. And this is where I kind of turned a corner in this match and I said, okay, I can't sit here and say this match has no redeeming quality because it made me laugh. So I can't in good conscience say that it is the worst that I've ever seen and that it has no redeeming value because at least it had comedic value to me. So Shotzi tossed Rousey over the barricade, got her back inside the ring to beat the 10 count. Shotzi went to the ropes, but Ronda hit a judo throw from the top rope, followed that up with Piper's Pit, and then finally locked on the armbar for the immediate submission. Absolutely nobody believed that Shotzi had a prayer of winning the championship, so there was no drama. The problem is the match itself was just fucking terrible. It's a terrible match. This is your SmackDown Women's Championship match at Survivor Series. It was awful. The crowd was booing the entire time. Crowd never stopped booing. It almost sounded like they were piping in boos, like there was some kind of a crowd track that they were they just hit play, and it was this constant stream of boos in the background for the entire match. So obviously Ronda is the heel. You would think, okay, they'll boo her, but they weren't exactly cheering for Shotzi either. And why would they? I mean, they've been given no reason to do so. Anybody expecting Sasha Banks to pop up in Boston tonight? And I know there were a lot of people who were hoping, they were expecting that Sasha Banks was going to make an appearance on this show tonight. All those Sasha fans, all those Sasha stans are probably punching the air right now. They were punching the air. Let me tell you, they were punching the air when this match was over. They were so upset. I thought we might get it too, because I just thought to myself, there's got to be more to it than this. Right, we know Ronda's going to win. We know the crowd's not really going to be into this. So maybe they know that too. When the match is over, Triple H is going to kind of throw a surprise out there at us, right? We'll hear the music. She'll come out in Boston. She'll get this monster reaction, right? We haven't seen her in 6 or 7 months. It's her hometown. And it could set the stage for a Ronda Rousey-Sasha Banks match at some point. Of course, you could also look at that and say, why reward this woman when she walked out on you? She was a champion. You're going to reward her by immediately thrusting her into a women's championship program with Ronda Rousey? You could also make that argument. But it would have been nice to get something when this match was over. They gave us nothing. They gave us nothing. You know what they gave us? As Ronda and Shayna were leaving, because I was thinking, okay, where does she go now, right? Where do you go with Ronda Rousey at this point? We're not at WrestleMania yet. If they want to get to Ronda and Becky somehow, even though they're on separate brands, there's still time for them to do that. They wouldn't even start in that direction, at least until the Royal Rumble. What do you do with Ronda Rousey in the meantime? Raquel Rodriguez would make sense, because as they said on TV tonight, Raquel has a broken elbow. After the attack on SmackDown last night, Ronda, Shayna, they attacked her. They slammed the equipment case lid on her arm, broke her arm. Yeah. Broken arm, dislocated elbow. She'll be back in 3 weeks. So she'll be back soon, and it would make sense for her to go after Ronda Rousey. I don't see that as a Royal Rumble match, but okay, maybe Raquel gets the next shot. But what about after Raquel? What happens then? Who's next? We got a peek. We got a little clue as to who that might be. As Ronda Rousey was leaving, she was mouthing off to the crowd. I don't know how many of you, I'm sure some of you picked up on it if you were paying attention to what she was saying. Ronda Rousey is looking out at the crowd, and she mouths the words, "This isn't a democracy." She says, "I'm the goddamn queen." The queen, you say? Yes. The queen, indeed. The queen is on her way back. So all of you who have been wondering, is Charlotte going to come back? Where is Charlotte going to end up? Charlotte wants to work with Bianca. Maybe she'll end up on Monday Night Raw. Maybe, but I also don't think that Ronda threw that word out there unintentionally. So if you were not a big fan of Ronda Rousey and Charlotte Flair earlier this year, I got some bad news for you. Let me take a moment here to let you all know that today's episode is sponsored by our friends at BetterHelp Online Therapy. You know, there's a lot of times in my life where I wish I had a user manual to guide me on what I should be doing. Life doesn't work that way. And when it's not working for you, believe me, it's normal to feel stuck. Therapists are trained to help you try to get to the root of what is causing whatever emotions that you may be dealing with, and teach you how to cope, which makes therapy the next best thing to a step-by-step how-to in the game of life. Not the board game, although I have played that too when I was a kid. I wasn't very good at it. BetterHelp has connected over 3 million people with licensed therapists. It's convenient, secure, and accessible from anywhere, 100% online. Therapy can help you learn valuable skills to overcome the challenges that you're dealing with and help you deal with trauma in your life. You don't want to let these things fester. It's better to tackle these problems now so that you're better off later. This is why I think BetterHelp is a great option for so many people. So many of you have written into the show telling me that you have never even heard of BetterHelp until I started mentioning it, and you've tried it and you've had positive experiences with it, which is what I love to hear. BetterHelp is the world's largest therapy service and has all the benefits of in-person therapy, plus it's more affordable, more convenient and more accessible. No more driving to someone's office, trying to find parking, sitting in a waiting room for an hour. All you have to do is fill out a short questionnaire to match with a therapist, and if things for whatever reason aren't clicking, you can easily switch to a new therapist anytime. If you're feeling stuck, get unstuck with BetterHelp. Learn more and save 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/solomonster. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/solomonster. Backstage, Sami Zayn arrived to meet with Roman Reigns. And Roman wanted to ask him about last night and what happened on SmackDown. Wanted to know if he was talking to Kevin Owens, as Jey Uso suggested. And Roman asked him why he lied to Jey, because Sami admitted that, yes, I did talk to Kevin Owens. Wanted to know, why did you lie to Jey? Sami said, well, I withheld some information, he said. Said, I withheld some information because I didn't want to put that on Jey's plate right before the big tag team main event, right? Put all that pressure on him. He had enough to think about. He had enough to worry about trying to beat Drew and Sheamus. Even if I tried to explain it to him, he said, I would not, he would not have understood what that was about. He said, and if we're being perfectly honest, I didn't talk to Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens talked to me, right? He approached me. I didn't go to him. He came to me. Roman asked him, well, what did he say? And Sami said, well, he said that I should turn on the bloodline before the bloodline turns on me. Roman said that, look, I get that you and Owens used to be best friends, but you need to understand that the bloodline is my family. It's my blood. And he needs Sami to look him in the eyes and let him know if he is with them or if he is going to stab them in the back out there. And Sami said that he was with him. He said, look, there are five people on this entire planet who are allowed back here into this dressing room. He said, the wise man is one, Solo Sikoa is one, Jimmy and Jey are the other two, and the fifth one is me. And he said, that's not lost on me. He goes, I'm well aware of that. That means something to me. Because it means the world to me that you took me in as a member of the family. He goes, I'm not going to let you down tonight or any night. He goes, I am with the bloodline. Roman stared at him for an uncomfortable length of time. And then he stood up. He told Sami to get up. He smirked. And he told him, let's do it. And they shared a hug. Roman's expression as he was hugging him turned serious, which Sami couldn't see. But that was the end of the segment. I thought this was fantastic. When I look back on this Survivor Series, what will really define this year's Survivor Series show is all of the bloodline stuff. Because it wasn't just what happened in the main event in the War Games match. That was sort of the capper for the entire night. But we had these two backstage segments, the one earlier with Jey and Roman, and then this one especially with Roman and Sami. Everything was building to what we saw in that main event. When I say storytelling, I don't just mean storytelling in the ring. It's all the backstage vignettes as well. And the bloodline stuff has been fantastic, but Roman and Sami in particular, when they have these backstage meetings, when we have Roman and Sami on screen together, these two have been gold. They really have. They have been tremendous together. So I thought this was outstanding. This was great. It was triple threat time for the United States Championship. We had Seth Rollins defending his title against Bobby Lashley and Austin Theory. This was the perfect palate cleanser after that last match I just talked about. Lashley and Rollins, they both took shots at Theory right at the beginning of the match. They knocked Theory out of the ring, got him out of the way, turned their attention back to each other. Lashley hit a DDT flatliner combo on both Rollins and Theory. Lashley picked up Rollins. He slammed him down, covered him, but Theory pulled the referee out of the ring right at the last minute to break up the fall before Lashley could get the win, just like Lashley did to him when Theory cashed in his Money in the Bank contract on Raw, giving him a little taste of his own medicine. Lashley went after Theory outside. Rollins ran Bobby into the ring steps. Theory cut off Seth and hit both men with the ring steps. So inside, Rollins went for a stomp. Lashley came back. He broke it up. Lashley hit a spine buster. He put Rollins in the Hurt Lock. And Theory jumped onto Lashley's back. He put him in a sleeper hold. That caused Lashley to break the Hurt Lock. Bobby dumped Theory over the top rope. Rollins put Lashley down with a pedigree, covered him for a near fall. Fans were big time behind Seth Rollins in this match. They sang his music. Oh, yeah, they did the whole music thing on the way to the ring. They were solidly behind him here in this match. Rollins went for a Phoenix Splash on Lashley, who moved. Rollins landed on his feet. He got tossed outside by Theory. Lashley put Theory in the Hurt Lock, and Theory used his feet to push off the top rope and go backwards into a pinning position, right? The old Bret Hart move. The move that Bret Hart used on Roddy Piper and Steve Austin. As he has Lashley in this pinning position, out of nowhere, off the top rope with a splash, it may have been a frog splash, here comes Seth Rollins. Halfway across the ring, lands right across Bobby's chest, right at the perfect moment. This is a perfectly timed spot here. And he broke up the pinfall. Theory set up for a pedigree, which Rollins avoided. Lashley caught both men in a simultaneous Hurt Lock, which they both escaped when Rollins was able to back them up into the corner. So Rollins ended up with both men down on all fours, which that's a very different kind of pay-per-view. But he got both men down on all fours. And it looked like he was debating, who should I stomp, right? He was debating which guy he should take out. What he ended up doing is he used Theory's back as like a stepping stone, right? He stepped off Rollins, or Theory's back, rather. And he hit the stomp on Lashley. So that was a cool spot. Rollins ended up hitting a superplex to Theory from the top. Immediately transitioned into position for a Falcon Arrow. We've seen him do this a million times. When he got Theory up in position for the Falcon Arrow, though, Bobby Lashley had recovered. Bobby Lashley came in for a very weak-looking spear. Bobby Lashley's spears are not the best, but this one did not look great. But he came in for the spear. He speared Rollins, and when he did that, Theory fell down on top of Rollins. And he covered him, and the referee counted three. And just like that, Austin Theory is once again, for the second time in his career, the United States champion. It may not have been the best spear that I've ever seen, but I thought it was a pretty unique finish. I really liked that finish, and it was an excellent triple threat match overall. This was, I thought, the most fun of all the matches on the entire show. This one was the best. Now, the War Games matches went longer. The main event War Games match, obviously, you know, had a better story. So, I mean, as far as that goes, my vote would go to the main event. But I mean, just in terms of just pure bell-to-bell action, this match would get my vote on this show. I did not think they would have Seth Rollins drop the title this soon. He hasn't had the title for very long, right? I mean, how long has he had the championship for? I mean, what's it been, a month maybe? Somewhere around there, 4 weeks? 3, 4, 5 weeks, somewhere in that range, right? We just had Extreme Rules, the fight pit with him and Riddle. That was on October 8th. And he didn't have the title then. So he hasn't had the championship for very long. But, you know, Theory needed this win. After that fiasco of a Money in the Bank cash in, Triple H, I guess, just wanted to get the stink of Vince McMahon off this kid and get rid of that stupid briefcase. Didn't do him any favors with that cash in. Now they've given him a harder edge. They've given him an attitude. They're trying to take steps to rebuild him. Putting the title on him is one way to do that. This was not the strongest way to do that because he won on a fluke. This was hardly a convincing win, right? I mean, it's a fair win in a triple threat match under triple threat rules, perfectly acceptable, but he won the title on a fluke. So it wasn't the strongest way to put him over, but the key now is going to be in the way that they book him and portray him on television going forward. That's always the most important thing. The key is in the follow-up, right? Now he has the championship. How do they book him on TV? That will tell the tale of Austin Theory now going forward. But they've given him a harder edge. You know, they need to keep up with him. Keep doing what they've been doing, and we'll see if he gets over or not. But hopefully they give him a chance. You know, I mean, he's very good. You know, especially for his level of experience, I think Theory is very good. Personality-wise, he's not the most exciting. I mean, I think he needs to develop that a little bit more. But yeah, the key is going to be in the follow-up here. But this was great. So then it was time for the main event. It was time for the men's War Games match with the Bloodline against Drew McIntyre, Kevin Owens, Sheamus, Ridge Holland, and Butch. Last time that we saw Paul Heyman lead a team into battle in War Games was in 1992. It was the Dangerous Alliance against Sting Squadron, in my opinion, still the greatest of all the War Games matches that have ever been. Unfortunately, he led his team to a loss that night at WrestleWar. That part of it is not so good. But it's amazing to think here we are now in 2022, and Paul Heyman is still around, and Paul Heyman once again leading a team into War Games, which I think is pretty cool. So the War Games cage lowered around both rings with the siren that they blare in the background. They cut backstage. Jey Uso asked Roman Reigns if Sami Zayn lied to him. He wanted to know what happened. And Reigns said that he saw everything that he needed to see. And that is how they left it. Very ambiguous, right? They wanted you to think this could be it. This could be the end of Sami Zayn tonight. They wanted you to believe that that was a possibility. So Kevin Owens was out first, wearing a Dusty Rhodes shirt. He had black jeans on and the wrist tape and everything. He was dressed up like Dusty Rhodes in tribute to the American Dream, right? The founding father of the War Games match. Followed by Drew McIntyre, Sheamus, Ridge Holland. They all went into the small cage. Butch came out. Butch was going to start inside the two rings for his team. This was his fourth War Games match, they mentioned on commentary. The entire Bloodline entered together, with Jey Uso starting things out for his team. Butch spent the first few minutes of this match trying to break Jey's fingers. Ridge Holland joined in next, since the babyfaces won the advantage on SmackDown, which is always weird. You know, in a War Games match for the babyfaces to have the man advantage over the heels, psychology-wise, it's all fucked. It's all backwards. I guess because the heels had the advantage in the women's match, they decided to go the other way with it. I mean, look, the women's match, you had the babyfaces win, and the heels had the advantage. In the men's match, the heels won, and the babyfaces had the advantage. So they just felt like, all right, we'll just do the opposite of what we did in the women's match, and we'll go 50-50 on both these things. But the psychology is always weird when they do that. So Ridge Holland came in. He must have hit five straight avalanche splashes in the corner to Jey Uso. And then Butch hit the high low, took down Jey. Jey was in trouble. Jey Uso was in trouble. And then we got the countdown for the next entrant into the match, which was going to be from the Bloodline. And it was Jimmy Uso who was ready to roll. Jimmy was ready to go help his brother out. Roman Reigns, though, who was sitting in a chair. They got him a chair. You know, old man Reigns, he has to sit down. He's sitting in a chair inside the cage. He grabs Jimmy and says, no, no. And he points at Sammy. He goes, he doesn't say anything. He just points at Sammy as if to say, you're up. You're in. And Sammy was kind of nervous. He's looking around, and he was very hesitant at first to head to the ring. But I love this. I love this because this is Roman Reigns. This is like Roman Reigns' idea of a team building exercise here, right? And he's trying to test Sammy's loyalty, right? He looked into his eyes. He hugged him earlier on. He said, I saw all that I needed to see. This is his way of testing him. He goes, all right, not only do I want you to go in there and help our guy out, but it's Jey Uso who hates your fucking guts. Go in there and help him. And that's what Sammy did. Sammy's objective tonight was to prove to Roman Reigns that he was loyal to the Bloodline. So he got into the cage and came to Jey's aid. There was a spot here where Sammy, even though he was hesitant at first, he did help Jey, and he patted Jey Uso on the back. And Jey didn't like that very much, and Jey kind of shoved him off. And now we had an argument in the ring between these two. And Sammy is trying to tell him, look, you know, we have to focus on the match. Meanwhile, Butch had scaled about halfway up the cage. And off the cage, not the top of the cage, but the side of the cage, he comes off with a moonsault and takes down both Jey and Sammy. There was another spot where Sammy pulled Jay out of harm's way in the corner, and he saved him, right? Second time he's come to his aid in this match. Drew McIntyre was out next. It was kind of alarming when Drew came out of the cage. I don't know. I mean, there was really hardly a reaction for him. He's probably the top babyface. Certainly top two on SmackDown, but didn't get the kind of reaction I would have expected. He was throwing the bloodline around. He said that he's feeling pretty oozy right now. Then we had Sami Zayn again for the third time in this match come to the aid of Jey Uso, crotched McIntyre on top as he was trying for some move on Jay. Jimmy Uso was out next. He went right for the table under the ring, which of course got everybody very excited because everybody loves their tables. So he pulled out a table. He pulled out a second table. He pulled out a third table. Sammy went to go set one up, and Jay pushed him off and said, "I'll do it." And he gave Sammy a shove. So Sammy shoved him back, and the people cheered. And Jimmy tried to play peacemaker between them. Sammy's like, "What the?" Basically, in so many words, you know, he's like, "What the fuck is your problem?" So now we have a shoving match. We have dissension in the ranks of the bloodline here. They cut back to Roman Reigns sitting on the chair inside his own little cage, and he has this disgusted, you know, disappointed dad look on his face. Kevin Owens was in next. He had chairs with him. Hit a cannonball to Jey Uso in the corner, hit a swanton off the top rope onto Jay. There was a brief stare down from across the ring between Owens and Zayn. First standoff here tonight between these two, but not the last. Until Ridge Holland grabs Sammy from behind. Owens put Jimmy through a table. The bloodline got the next man in. It was Solo Sikoa, which left Roman Reigns all by himself in the bloodline cage. There was a funny spot where Owens and Sikoa, they were in between both rings. And Owens ran Sikoa face first or head first into the steel, into the side of the cage. And Solo Sikoa completely no-sold it, because one thing that has not changed in 40-plus years of professional wrestling is that Samoans have hard heads. So if you remember when the head shrinkers used to wrestle, or you know any of the Samoans, right, Haku, if somebody would go to give them a headbutt, the guy delivering the headbutt would sell it, and the Samoan guy would just stand. Well, I guess Haku is Tongan. He's not Samoan, but I guess they also have hard heads. But they would no-sell it, right? That's always been a thing, for whatever reason. So Sikoa no-sold it. Owens delivered a super kick. Again, Sikoa no-sold it. Another super kick from Kevin Owens. Finally, Owens tried for a pile driver on the diamond grate in between both rings, but he got backdropped onto the diamond plate. Sheamus was the final entrant for his team. I don't know what is up with Sheamus, man. Like, the whole side of his face was all bruised up. I guess it was from the match on SmackDown last night. This guy, man, I mean, he's so pale that, you know, any time he takes any kind of shot to the back or to the face, like, he just has these fucking bruises all over his body. Like, he looked like he was in a bar fight. So he emerges from the cage. I think he was the last person, I think, out of the cage for the babyfaces. And he went to go enter the cage. Sami Zayn was holding the door shut, so Sheamus couldn't get inside. Sheamus overpowered him, opened the door, and then immediately slammed it right back in Sami's face. So that did not work out the way that I think he wanted it to. I think his plan backfired on him. Sheamus delivered white noise to Solo Sikoa from the middle rope. Finally, it was time for the tribal chief to make his entrance. As time ticked down to zero, and the cage door opened, and here comes Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns is here to enter the fray, although he's in no rush to get down to the ring. But once he did, they rang the bell, they announced that the War Games match is now officially underway. Everything that came before this, completely useless. Now the match can begin. One fall to a finish, pinfall or submission only, those are the rules. The bloodline stood shoulder to shoulder in one ring. McIntyre, Owens, and the Brutes stood shoulder to shoulder in the other one. They got this cool overhead shot. And that's what tonight was all about. Don't forget, this is the first ever War Games on the main roster, right? They've done a bunch of these in NXT, but they've never done these on the main WWE roster. So tonight was all about getting these cool shots of people diving off the top of the cage. They got the overhead shot of one team in one ring and one team in it, which was a cool shot. But that's what tonight was all about, getting all these cool shots so that they can use them, you know, in the future in video packages and so forth. So they end up coming together. A big brawl breaks out between both teams. Babyface has got all the members of the Bloodline tied up in the ropes at the same time for the 10 beats. Only you've got 5 members of the Bloodline, so it was more like the 50 beats. But they just kept going, so it was more like 75 beats. Maybe 80. 80 beats. Sheamus had a brogue kick to Solo Sikoa, but Sheamus turned around right into a spear by Roman Reigns, who had him pinned until Butch broke up the fall. Sammy comes over. He's all pissed off. Sami Zayn attacks Butch, and he's yelling at him, telling him, that's the tribal chief. Do you know who you're dealing with? That's the tribal chief. And then it happened. Jey Uso went for a super kick to Butch. Butch ducked the kick, and Jey Uso accidentally super kicked Sami Zayn right in the face and knocked him down. And didn't look too bothered by it either. Even though he had fucked up, he didn't look terribly disappointed by what he had just done. The Usos then hit the 1D to Butch. Holland, though, broke up the pinfall to save the match for his team. Roman Reigns speared Ridge through a table that was propped up against the corner. Solo Sikoa hit the spinning solo, the Uranage, to McIntyre through another table. Kevin Owens hit the stunner to Solo Sikoa, and Roman Reigns broke up the pinfall. And now we had a standoff between Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens. They came face to face. They were squaring up. Owens smacked him. Roman smacked him back. They exchanged strikes. Owens ate a Superman punch. Reigns went for the spear. He ate a foot instead. Owens then hit a pop-up powerbomb, and then when Roman got up, he hit a stunner. And he had the match won. Kevin Owens had War Games won for his team, covered Roman Reigns, he had him dead to rights, and who should grab the referee's hand right before the hand can come down for the three count? Sami Zayn. Grabs the referee's hand, saves the match for his team. Owens looks up at him, he's got this incredulous look on his face, just staring at Sammy, like, I can't believe what you just did. They get up. Owens is talking to him. He's looking down at Roman, and he goes, this is your family? This is your family. Jimmy Uso went for a super kick to Kevin Owens. KO caught the foot. Right? So he has Jimmy's foot. Sami Zayn all of a sudden gives Kevin Owens a low blow. A low blow to the best man at his wedding. A low blow to his very best friend. Zayn knelt down next to Roman Reigns, who looked up at him and nodded in approval. Sammy hit the corner. He came out of the corner, hit the haluva kick on Kevin Owens in the opposite corner. And he offered Kevin Owens to Jey Uso as an offering. He offered him as a sacrifice, as Jey was looking to climb to the top rope. Sammy told him, go ahead and climb. Jey climbed to the top rope. He hit the Uso splash on Kevin Owens, and he pinned Kevin Owens to win the War Games match for the Bloodline. The Bloodline wins. LOL. Roman got up, and he looked at Sammy. Sammy looked at him, and Roman put his arms out like this. He wanted that warm embrace from Sami Zayn. That welcoming embrace. Sammy came in, he hugged Roman Reigns, and Sami Zayn has finally, officially, been welcomed into the Bloodline. No longer is he going to be the honorary Uso, right? I expect a ceremony on SmackDown this week where Sami Zayn is no longer the honorary Uso, he is now graduated. He is officially a member of this family. He is not an honorary member of the family. But that wasn't even the best part of all this, because after that, Jey Uso comes over, and Jey Uso, he doesn't just hug Sami Zayn. Like, he comes in to hug Sammy like he, like Sammy is his best long-lost friend that he hasn't seen in like 30 years. he comes in and he grabs Sami Zayn, he hugs him, and then he hugs him a second time, and Sammy's so excited, he hugs him back. Right, it's just one big hug fest here with the Bloodline. And look, if anybody knows about betraying your best friend, it's Kevin Owens, right? His very first night in NXT, he turned on Sami Zayn. This is a man who has proven time and time again that he does not give a shit about other people. And he does not mind stepping on those people, even if they're his friend. Look what he did to Chris Jericho in the Festival of Friendship, right? So I don't see that Sami Zayn did anything wrong here. Sami Zayn was being proactive. He struck before he was, you know, on the receiving end of the same thing by Kevin Owens. It's justifiable what Sami Zayn did to KO here in this match, based on Kevin Owens' history in this company. But I was also thinking about this, in all seriousness. Like, we know that Owens had an injury scare in Wisconsin at that live event 10 days ago, whatever it was. And I believe he was hurt. It just turned out that he wasn't hurt seriously enough where he needed to be out for an extended period of time. But what if he was? Look at what they did here at the end of this. I don't know how far in advance Triple H had this all mapped out as far as War Games, like what the finish was going to be. I would like to think he's putting a little more forethought into this than Vince McMahon did. And at least as far as this match, he had a sense, you know, weeks in advance of what they were going to do. He's done interviews talking about how now they're mapping things out even into the summer of next year. They're trying to look into like long-term booking. So I don't know when this finish was devised, but what a disaster that would have been. If Kevin Owens was injured enough that he had to miss War Games, I mean, it would have thrown everything out of whack. So they got very lucky that that injury turned out to not be as serious as they originally feared. This is a very good main event with excellent storytelling. Excellent storytelling. Now the question is, where do you go from here? Because Sami Zayn was just in lockstep with all the members of the Bloodline when this pay-per-view was over. And it was a great moment. It was a great moment. Now, you can't... There has to be a period of time now that goes by where the infighting has to stop, right? Sammy has proven his worth. There has to be almost like a moratorium for a while until something happens that triggers the downfall. But there's going to be this period of time now where all the members are on the same page, and Jay, you know, he doesn't hate Sammy the way he used to, and this will go on for a little while, and it'll take us into the Royal Rumble. And this is what I was thinking of before, because I've been waiting for the return of Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes should be on his way back very soon. Cody Rhodes should be back in time for the Royal Rumble in January. And the best story, I think, is still Cody Rhodes trying to take the championship that his father, you know, had taken away from him all those years ago. He told the story on Raw after he, you know, came back to the company. But what a great story that is. Last time we saw Cody Rhodes, he was all bruised up, right? It was one of the most heroic performances people were talking about. This is going to be a legendary performance that people will be talking about for years to come. So how do you not give Cody Rhodes the heroic comeback treatment, you know, when he's ready to come back? Put him in that Royal Rumble match and have him go over in the Royal Rumble and challenge for the championship at WrestleMania. How do you not do that? And a lot of it also ties into The Rock and, you know, are they really going to do The Rock and Roman at WrestleMania and not Rock, you know, Roman and Cody? We don't know what The Rock status is going to be. Nobody knows what The Rock status is. I'm not sure The Rock knows yet what The Rock status is going to be for WrestleMania. The Rock is just sort of like the ghoul that's hanging over this whole situation, and we don't know whether, you know, he's going to have an impact on any of this or not. So I look at this and I say, without knowing exactly what they have planned, if I'm right, and if Cody's going to win the Rumble, and if the goal is to get to Sammy and KO reuniting and challenging for the tag team titles at WrestleMania, stay the course. Because I still think that is the best plan. I still think the way to go is Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. It has to be taking the tag team titles from the Usos at WrestleMania. And I know Sammy and KO have had this dream for years. They want to be tag team champions together, you know, in WWE. And you're never going to have a better scenario present itself than the one that they have in front of them coming up at WrestleMania. And I would hate to deviate from that story, but you know, you watch what they've been doing with Sammy. He's so over right now. This story, it's clicking. And he is so over right now. You can absolutely make the case for Sami Zayn to win the Royal Rumble match. And here's why. What we saw tonight solidified the bloodline, right? What could they possibly do to cause a crack now within the bloodline? I can think of one thing. Sami Zayn wins the Royal Rumble. And then the realization sets in that even though everything's been all cool on the home front with the bloodline, Sami winning the Royal Rumble means that he's the number one contender for the championship, and the champion is Roman Reigns. So now you have all of this new drama and intrigue around, well, what's going to happen now? Is Sami going to forfeit his championship match at the Royal Rumble to prove his, again, prove his loyalty to Roman Reigns and the bloodline? That could very well be what ends up happening. People, you know, because we've been trying to map out, how does this work? Who wins the Rumble? What if The Rock comes back and wrestles Roman? You know, the winner of the Royal Rumble should wrestle for the championship. So how do you reconcile that? You know, maybe it's a situation where Sami Zayn wins the Royal Rumble and ends up sacrificing his championship shot. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do here. But man, you are going to be in a situation, I think. I think Cody will be over when he gets back. But man, if the people want Sami to win that Royal Rumble, they're going to be very upset if anybody else but Sami Zayn wins that Royal Rumble. And there may be ways to have him win without him actually ending up going to WrestleMania and getting the shot. You have that Elimination Chamber show in Montreal. You have to do something on that show with Roman and Sami. Maybe that's where the split goes down. Maybe that's where the bloodline finally turns on Sami Zayn. Maybe Sami Zayn gets a championship match at the Elimination Chamber, not WrestleMania. Maybe he wins the Royal Rumble and says, you know what? I want to get my shot in Montreal. I don't know. But that show, that Elimination Chamber show, has to be where it all goes down. And Owens can come to his rescue, and they reunite, and then they go after the tag team titles. Stay the course. It would be very tempting to kind of change things up. Oh, man, this bloodline stuff is so great. We have to let it go for another 6 months. I mean, WrestleMania, that's the time you want to pay this off. The story's been going on for so long. I don't mind dragging it out for a few more months, but you've got to pay it off at WrestleMania. That's how I feel. Here's the poll. We've already got roughly 1,400 votes in. 80% of you have given the Survivor Series this year an overwhelming thumbs up score. 80% thumbs up. That's a pretty damn good score for the Survivor Series. 12% thumbs down, or thumbs in the middle, rather. And 7% thumbs down. So if you want to vote in the poll, you guys know where they are always located. That is at Solomonster on Twitter. You can go vote over there in the poll. And as promised, I want to turn it over to your super chats now, your questions. I'm sure you guys have a lot to say about this pay-per-view tonight. The women's match, the War Games matches. Maybe you didn't like some of these things the way that I did. That's cool. Everybody's got their own opinion, right? Opinions are like assholes. Everybody's got them. Some of them stink more than others. Groovy Goose made noodle pudding. I was very proud of him when I heard that earlier. So shout out to Groovy Goose. I hope it turned out well. Always a good Thanksgiving treat in my family. Brumakian Productions, who also became a channel member today. Hey, Brumakian, thank you. Says, I did say it was time for a change. Also, this is Demetrius of Brumakian Productions demanding that you subscribe to Solomonster Sounds Off right now. Thank you, brother. Yusef with the $4.99, random question, but was John Cena supposed to be stretchered out after his match with Brock at Extreme Rules in 2012? I believe that's what Brock expected, and Brock was very upset when he was not. I remember Brock was very pissed off about Cena sitting in the ring and cutting a promo after he had just murdered this man. Shinakuma, thank you for the $2. Groovy Goose, with that flip, EO is now an honorary goose. Fire Panda with the $5 super chat. Well, hello again. Here's something I never really thought about. How weird is WWE's commentary going to be when Michael Cole retires? You know, I think when Michael Cole retires, we're going to realize that it's one of those, you don't know what you got till it's gone. Because the commentary situation in this company outside of SmackDown is not very good. Mr. E 1976, here's to the tip jar. Thanks for everything you do, Solomon, sir. Hey, Mr. E, thank you so much. Thank you. Mr. Flamethrower with the $5. As a Florida boy, I love the Dusty Rhodes shirt that KO was wearing. I know KO was tight with Dusty before he passed away. Emmanuel with the $9.99. Watch Survivor Series on my drive back from my honeymoon. Wow, that's commitment right there. Says the main event was a blast. Sami Zayn. I hope you weren't driving as you were watching the pay-per-view. Were you in the passenger seat or were you in the driver's seat? Mr. AJ Allday with the $20 super chat drop. Enjoyed Survivor Series as a whole. Bianca is on the John Cena run. And Sam, you may go down as one of the greatest storytellers of all time. Thank you, Solomonster. Signed, a proud channel member. I'm proud to have you as a channel member. Justin Jack, best WWE pay-per-view all year. And that is coming from an AEW Dick Rider. Full Gear still better though, LOL. Yeah, I mean, as a whole, I think I enjoyed Full Gear more. There was no story at Full Gear as good as the Bloodline stuff, but I think as a whole, I enjoyed Full Gear more than Survivor. But it's almost like not fair because this show had 5 matches. Full Gear had what, 10, 11? It had double the number of matches. So there was a lot more variety on that show. 0.216 with the $10 super chat. I'm probably in the minority. Glad to see Austin Theory get the belt back. He's really grown on me since dropping the selfie gimmick. The sky is the limit for him. Please, Seth, drop the laugh and the ridiculous outfits. Tyler says, almost started crying when Sammy was crying. Well, you would have been. You're going to be crying, all right, when the Bloodline turns on Sammy. That's when you're going to be crying. You're going to be tearing up, like me at the end of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles with the big reveal in the train station. You know, for all the times I've watched that movie, it doesn't matter how many times I watch that film. Every time I get to that scene, I can't, man. It's too much. Boobah. Sammy makes you feel, and Paul Heyman is gold as well. The Dada and Boys podcast. I think it's Dada. I keep saying Dada. It's the Dada and Boys podcast. They should really limit the weapons in war games. I agree. Tyler says, much love to the man. Solomonster is the best. Thank you, Tyler. Mr. Notorious Chico 86. Great show. I especially have to give the women credit. I was expecting a train wreck, but they delivered, especially at the end. By the way, Rhea looks delicious. Cameron Spencer with the $4.99. Orton against Wyatt WrestleMania matches were hilariously bad. Which was funnier, the first Mania match or the second one? Both were so bad that it was hilarious. God, I mean, they were both god-awful. Probably the second one. I don't even know what the hell happened in that match. I mean, I know what happened. I just don't know what they were thinking. And Alexa on her box with the black shit coming out of her mouth and down her head and fucking Fiend lose. I mean, it's ridiculous. I don't even want to get into it. Codemax 13. Sheamus is most likely to face off against Roman for the title at the Royal Rumble. It just cannot be Kevin Owens again. It absolutely could be Kevin Owens again, but I also think it probably will be Sheamus. It's been long enough that they could absolutely do Kevin Owens again if they wanted to. But I do think that it will likely be Sheamus. Juice, I have not been keeping up as much lately with New Japan. I know the key stuff going on, but I haven't been keeping up with it as much as I'd like to. But I will definitely be gearing up for Wrestle Kingdom. I am looking forward to Wrestle Kingdom, especially this year. I'm looking forward to Wrestle Kingdom a lot. Fire Panda, hey, Solomonster, what song was used at the start of the stream? Because that song was fire. As I always say, the information can be found at the bottom of the description. So that is where you can go to find it. Ted Evans with the $20 super chat. Holy shit. Hey, Ted. Wow. Thank you, Ted. Who takes longer to get to the ring, Roman or The Undertaker? And who has the most eye-rolling entrance ever? Thanks for all the hard work that you do weekly. Undertaker's entrance is fucking awesome. Undertaker's entrance is... it's a spectacle. I have no issue with The Undertaker's entrance. Anti-M Bishop 07, decent effort, needs work for next year. Something was really missing with the matches. Shotzi and Ronda was just not good. Very miffed at the match. It just, again, devoid of heat, sloppy in parts. Just not good all around. It just wasn't a very good match. Had no business being on pay-per-view. Mr. Notorious, I'm really starting to believe that Sami Zayn is the one who is going to win the titles from Roman, but not at WrestleMania, more likely at Money in the Bank in a cash-in. That would be awful. That would be so awful. I do not want to see this story wasted in a Money in the Bank cash. I'm so sick of the Money in the Bank cash-ins, and to use that in this situation... You know, if you were going to do the Money in the Bank gimmick with Sammy, he should have won Money in the Bank last year. That would have made sense. At this point, I don't want to see Money in the Bank. You don't need Money in the Bank involved in this. You really don't. We don't even know what they're going to be doing with Money in the Bank. I mean, there's been talk about Triple H maybe going back to having Money in the Bank matches on each night of WrestleMania. Maybe they don't do a pay-per-view anymore. But then, you know, are you going to put Sami Zayn in the Money in the Bank match? I mean, you've got this tag team title match. It's just, it's right there. You know what I mean? Like, it's right there. You can't. You have to stick to the plan. That has to be the plan. Stay the course. Hey, Crazy Casey, thank you for the $2. Boobah says, what if it isn't Sami who flips on the bloodline? Who flips on the bloodline, or who gets kicked out? What are you referring to? James Gruesome, what a name! The intrigue is what it's all about. Yeah, it's a story, man. It's the story. A strong story, an interesting story, can really carry things on a show. I am not completely, you know, sick of all the bloodline stuff, even though it's been dominating the television shows now for well over a year. There may come a point where I get tired of it, but they've been doing such a great job with it that it usually is the highlight of SmackDown every single week. It's the best thing going in this company right now. So I can understand if they wanted to extend it and not kill it off at WrestleMania, but there has to be, you know, every great story is going to have that payoff. And what I don't want is for them to drag it out for too long. And now you've missed a great opportunity to blow it off on your biggest show of the year. Bloodline with Sammy, a top 5 storyline ever. Do you agree? It's a great story. I don't know if it ranks top 5 or not. I don't know. But is it a great story? Is it one of the best stories the WWE has told in at least the last 15 years? Hell yeah, it is. Absolutely. Absolutely. They've taken their time with it. They've added people to it. There's been some twists and turns. Things have happened that, you know, I'm sure 6 months ago, a lot of us wouldn't have predicted. Sami Zayn even said it was never the plan for him to be part of this bloodline thing for this long. It just sort of happened. It got over. And they adapted and they went with it. They said, shit, this is working. Let's keep going with this. You know, and now, and look where we are now. You know, you can't predict these things sometimes. Chris Miner, buy or sell a Survivor Series Punjabi Prison PLE or a Survivor Series Hogpen PLE? Those both sound equally awful, and I would not watch either one of those. Bobby's World, got bad news last night and did not sleep well. Cannot stay for the whole stream, but had to drop in and show some love for the OG. Thought this was an awesome show, and that triple threat match was way better than I expected. I don't know what the bad news is, Bobby. I hope it's not too serious. I hope you're okay. And thank you for the support. I hope you're doing well. As well as can be. Keep me posted. Justin Jack, who do you think will take the AEW title from MJF? No idea. He just won the championship. I haven't even thought that far ahead. I mean, it could be Wardlow. Wardlow beat him. Right? Wardlow has a win over MJF. They have to come back around to MJF and Wardlow at some point. But it is so early in his run, and he's not going to drop it for a while. You know, he's not dropping it to Hangman. He's not dropping it back to Moxley. I don't see him dropping it to Jericho or Danielson or anybody like that. We've seen MJF and Darby have a tremendous match before. Darby right now, the way he's been booked, you know, I don't see Darby being AEW champion in the near future. Could Darby be a champion at some point? Yeah, he could be. Maybe Darby eventually is the one to take the title from MJF. Darby, Wardlow, I could see either one of them. I'm looking at the roster now at who else it could potentially be, but nobody else stands out to me at the moment. Hey, Raymond Laney with the 1999 Solid Monster Bushwhacker Super Chat. I'm trying to remember what I was talking about that made me even do that impression on that stream. I want to say I was talking about the Briscoes. Is that what it was? I think I was talking about Mark and Jay Briscoe. How if they would have gone to WWE years ago, that Vince McMahon would have basically turned them into a modern-day Bushwhackers. I think that's what that was. Josiah Ball, thank you for the super chat. Rodimus Prime with the 10 spot. Storytelling at its finest. That's what wrestling is about. Overall, a good pay-per-view. As far as the women's title match, not so much. Absolutely horrible. Joseph Brooks, would you say this pay-per-view tonight was probably one of the best in the past 5 years, along with the 2018 pay-per-view that you mentioned yesterday? No, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't go that far. I enjoyed it, but I did not come away from this show thinking, oh my God, this was one of the best pay-per-views I've seen in the last 5 years. No, I wouldn't go that far. I liked it, but I didn't like it that much. Rizzo, I don't know if you or the chat noticed with the Regal and AEW, the camera lingered on Roman at the end, and it left me thinking that he still is not trusting Sammy. Are you talking about the backstage segment? Because I would think that after the main event tonight, did they zoom in on Roman's face when he hugged him the second time after the main event? I don't remember if it lingered on him then. It definitely lingered on him earlier in the backstage segment. Trevon Birch, I thought War Games felt neutered. Good story, though. Metal Rules with the $20 super chat. Too bad AJ Styles does not unleash his spiral tap anymore, but we did at least get a kind of an attempt tonight. The reason he doesn't do the spiral tap is because I think it's hell on his back. think he's talked about that before. It's painful. And he was doing the spiral tap in his 20s and 30s. He's like 44 now, or 45. So I don't know that you're going to be seeing the spiral tap ever again from AJ Styles. Chris Ludek, hey Salamaster, buy or sell Brett Bulldog and Owen hugging to start the new Hart Foundation, or Jay and Sammy hugging tonight? I always go back to Brett and Bulldog and Owen, and that was an all-time segment. So I have to buy on that. Rizzo, buy or sell November 25th, 2023, the Saturday after Thanksgiving, most likely. Survivor Series, is Regal back in WWE? Depends on how long his contract is for. If he signed a one-year contract, I think he probably is. Yeah, I do. If he signed a three-year deal, then he's not. It's very simple. It all boils down to how long his contract is. I believe when his contract is over, there's a very good chance he goes back to WWE. Boobah with the $4.99. Not to sound too corny, no pun intended, but we don't always need flips and big spots and lots of blood to tell a good story. Enjoyed this show tonight. Isaiah Duzon. Last week I mentioned that I had a horrible job. I took your advice and I am now leaving that job. I feel like a huge weight has been lifted. Well, congrats, Isaiah. I told you, you should not be trapped in a dead-end, boring, or stressful, or horrible job that's making you miserable every day. You know, I would never tell somebody to just quit, you know, without having some kind of a backup plan or a backup fund or another job on tap. I hope you have something else lined up. That's kind of what I was saying. But yeah, nobody should be miserable. You're not happy, make changes in your life. I mean, that's really what it boils down to. That's for anything, not just a job. You know, if you're waking up miserable every day, you have the power to make those changes. Uffman Entertainment, Dakota was pinned, not Rhea. Yes, I gathered that from all of the people yelling at me in the chat. Yes. I will be going back to rewatch the finish of that match when we are done here. Brock Benningfield, women's War Games match should have been a traditional Survivor Series match. One thing I was really disappointed about, I really wish they would have had at least one classic Survivor Series elimination match. And I hope in the future, if Triple H is going to make War Games an annual thing going forward, I still would like to see them have one classic Survivor Series elimination match every year. So I hope they bring that back. Nier says, happy World Cup. Hell yeah, Ricochet and Santos Escobar are going to the finals of the World Cup next week. Ezekiel Alves with the $4.99. This was my first ever live show, and it was worth every penny. All I could think by the end is that it's going to be a sad day when the Bloodline kill Sam. Ray Ray with that $50 super chat drop from earlier. I will thank him a second time. Because that is very generous of him. Gary Chilpa, should JBL be managing Austin Theory instead of Baron Corbin? I don't think it really fits. I wouldn't do that. The Data and Boys podcast, create the worst female wrestler possible using active wrestlers. For example, Marina Shafir's personality and promo and Shotzi's in-ring ability. I mean, I think you just did. You just did my job for me. K-Dog's Kennel with the $5. I honestly thought the Bloodline was going to turn on Sammy, but I absolutely love this ending. Hope your family had a great Thanksgiving. Had a good Thanksgiving with the cousins. I hope you did as well. Angel Silva, shout out to Samantha Irvin. She was on her game tonight and made the War Games matches feel intense. Her announcing is so damn great, and she is fire. I've put her over on the podcast in the last few weeks. I think she's fantastic. I especially like whenever she introduces the members of Imperium. I think she's great. The way she does the introductions for Gunther and, you know, Marcel Bartel and Giovanni Vinci. She's great. Andre Israel. If someone told you that Ronda against Shotzi was match of the night, what would be your response to that person? I would probably want to get them into drug rehab as quickly as possible. I think time is of the essence with that. I would probably drive them myself to the clinic if need be. I worry about people like that. GCC 305, buy, rent, or sell Kane and Daniel Bryan, Eddie and Batista, or Sammy and Jey Uso. Thanks as always for the live reviews as I am at work. So we're just, what are we doing here? We're just buying or selling on these on-air combos, like Sammy and Jey are not really a team. I would go with Sammy and Jey. I got to tell you, I'm enjoying them, their interactions a lot. Kane and Daniel Bryan were fine. I was never the biggest Team Hell No guy. You know, Eddie and Batista, that was fine. But I would pick Sammy and Jey, honestly, over both of them. Mario DeRose with the $9.99. Why was early 2000 WWE programming so pro-heel? Triple H going over clean almost every match. The Radicals, DX, Big Show, against The Rock. And I assume that's supposed to say Cactus. I don't know what the hell that says. Who cuts? Never remember WWE ever being so pro-heel other than that. Really? You missed the Authority era in 2013 and 2014 if you don't remember them being so pro-heel. I would caution you to go back and watch some of the stuff from about 9 or 10 years ago, 8, 9 years ago, whatever it was. Even look at SmackDown right now. My God, you know, the Bloodline has all the gold. They have Gunther with the Intercontinental title, Ronda Rousey with the SmackDown Women's title. Austin Theory now has the U.S. title. Pretty pro-heel today. Keyshawn Johnson says, officially a sound-off member. Keyshawn Johnson, that gets you a yes. That's what I like to hear. Welcome to the Sound Off family. King Bling Blah. Cracks begin to form between Sammy and the Bloodline. Sammy wins Money in the Bank night one. Roman against the Royal Rumble winner on night two. Roman goes over. Sammy cashes in, turning on the Bloodline. You know, if it's a traditional Money in the Bank cash-in, though, it's so fucking lame. You can't have Roman Reigns' championship run come to an end on a Money in the Bank cash-in. I'm sorry. You can't do that. Unless it's announced in advance, then that's fine. If it's announced in advance and not after he's already wrestled the match, I could tolerate that. But you have a guy who has been champion for this long, and you're going to have his reign come to an end on a Money in the Bank cash-in? Are you fucking kidding me? You cannot end his reign that way. King Bling Blah, you can't. I hope that's not what you're referring to. You cannot end his reign that way. Thirsting Howell the Third. Crowd loved Sammy more than Davey Boy loves doing chin locks, and at least Rousey and Shotzi wasn't as bad as WCW Snow Brawl. Keyshawn Johnson, is 92 your favorite year in wrestling? If not, what is? And what are your favorite matches from the Big Four? I can't answer all that. I don't know offhand what my favorite... I mean, I could list a whole bunch of different matches, but... 92, I know 92 was not a great, not a great year business-wise, but yeah, 92, 93 are a couple of my favorites. 89 was a strong year, especially in the, well, in the NWA it was. The Flair and Steamboat matches. Then I skip ahead later on in the decade, 97. I did not have a full appreciation for how great 97 was until many years later. 2000 creatively was a great year. I think the best year, honestly, for WWE creatively was 2000. That was a lot of different years. I don't know that it's just one year. 92 is up there, though. Mr. Notorious Chico, I admire your persistent with Sami Zayn and KO winning the tag team titles, but Sami is getting over to where a tag team title would be beneath him. Maybe so. He may get over so much. I mean, it's like the Daniel Bryan thing where you can't resist it. But I just think there's no future for Sami Zayn as the champion. He could win the title, but it's not as if he's going to go on this long extended run as champion. I don't see that. I think whoever beats Roman should be the guy that you're going to build around. Then going out of that, let's say it's WrestleMania, coming out of that show, you're going to build around that person for the long haul. I don't think Sami Zayn is going to be that guy. Hey, Dark Oblivion, thank you for the sub. Get the one Sasha Banks appearance is not at Survivor Series. It's on the Sound Up stream. There she is. Say goodbye. She just disappeared. Raymond Laney with the night. Oh, there she is again. Look at this. Don't give up. Just subscribe. You're getting more Sasha Banks tonight on the Sound Up stream than you have on television in the last 6 months. Raymond says, can we just appreciate that most of the NXT guys are getting theirs finally? I'm 42, and Triple H has brought me back. He is doing a good job. Thanks for all that you do. Love from Long Island. Thank you, Raymond. I appreciate the 1999. Z-Bird, 85. I would not mind Sammy against Reigns at WrestleMania. Zayn unexpected rise reminds me of Bryan Danielson. That gets more mileage than Zayn in a tag team. I don't know. Rizzo, if you go back and watch the main event, the closing shot is a lingering shot at Roman while the bloodline is celebrating. Well, they were all standing in the corner of the ring with their finger up in the air. And Sammy pulled the shirt off. I think Roman was just sort of appreciating that everybody is kind of united behind him. Joseph Brooks, did you notice Lashley was dominant like Lesnar would have been? Do you still think that we may possibly get another Lashley and Lesnar match? Oh, absolutely. I think there's a very good chance we get the rubber match at WrestleMania. Thomas, like the show, minus the women's belt match. I get the feeling that Sammy has what Owen said in the back of his mind. Well, he should. He should have eyes in the back of his head. Rizzo. Also, don't forget, the Usos cannot go to Canada for Elimination Chamber. I believe Jey Uso can. I don't think Jimmy can go. But I'm not talking about doing a tag team title match at Elimination Chamber. But yes, if they were to do a big gang attack, that's true. Then you would probably be missing at least one of the Usos, so that probably wouldn't work. But they should definitely be setting Sammy up for something big at Elimination Chamber. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, Kevin Owens had Roman again and get screwed over again. Every time, every single time he has Roman Reigns beat, he gets fucked over by somebody. Pillow v. Pillow, how was the noodle pudding? The noodle pudding was chef's kiss. The noodle pudding was delicious. Cameron Spencer, Shotzi Blackheart had good matches in NXT. What is going on with her? Shotzi has had a tough year. I'm not trying to beat up on anybody here. I'm just giving my opinion. The match was shit. I didn't think the match was very good. And it's not all on Shotzi. It's on Shotzi and it's on Ronda, right? They just had a bad match. But Shotzi has had a shitty year. She had like two dads. I know she lost both of her fathers. I guess one of them was her stepfather. I think the other one was her biological father. I think There was some other stuff I think that happened. She's had a tough year. How much of that plays on her? You know, because she's had matches on SmackDown that aren't very good. I don't know what, you know, is going on. I don't know how to explain it. The matches in NXT, it's not like they were radically better. But she did tend to have better matches there. I don't know. But I know that she's had a rough year. Bob the Builder is All Out 2021, the best pay-per-view of the last 5 years. It might be, yes. It might be. That was an excellent pay-per-view. It's definitely a strong if it isn't the best, it's definitely in the conversation. Skywalker, if Vince McMahon was watching War Games, do you believe Vince is upset what Survivor Series has become? Or what would be his opinion of the show? I don't really care what his opinion of the show is. But, you know, because creatively, I've been waiting for him to get the hell out of there for so long. His opinion is what has, you know, largely ruined many of these shows. So it was about time we had somebody else's opinion in there. But I mean, as far as upset about what Survivor Series has become, Survivor Series became what it did under his watch. It's his fucking fault. What Survivor Series has become? What has it become? I mean, if it's become something that you think is horrible, then you should be blaming Vince McMahon. He's the one who made it that way. Fire Panda, Ronda against Shotzi was the match of the night. Funny little bastard. You little bastard. Chris Underwood with a 999. Just a quick thank you for being the best. Shout out to my buddy Nate for being a jobber. Cheers, my friend. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you, Chris. Yeah, Austin, you know, I forgot about that. You're talking about what Survivor Series has become. People were convinced that The Rock was going to be making a cameo appearance at Survivor Series last year. And granted, that was the fans talking it into themselves. But we went from thinking The Rock might make an appearance on the show to Vince McMahon showing up to plug The Rock's movie with a fucking egg. They built a storyline around an egg that was stolen. You're going to tell me, oh, he might be upset about what Survivor Series has become. He was carrying around an egg. It was already a joke. Dev to Dust. When you fall off that horse, you get right back up and eat that horse. Come eat that horse with me, Salama. What the fuck? I'll stick to my noodle pudding, thank you. Dev to Dust says also, I'll give you a show that you will never, ever, ever see before. Why? Because I can. And Drew Johnson says, WWE is lame, bro. AEW is the GOAT. Yes, but Shawn Michaels works for WWE. I would think that as much of a Shawn Michaels fan as you are, you would vote for WWE or NXT. Because Shawn Michaels is running NXT Creative. Does that mean that Drew Johnson is finally off the Shawn Michaels bandwagon? I never thought I would live to see the day. I'm shocked. I'm shocked by this development. Biggest Shawn Michaels fan I know. He's voting for AEW over WWE. Well, what's going on here? So we had a goal tonight. We had a likes goal of 500. I thought we could easily do that. And I see that we just passed 800. So you guys, not only did you hit a home run, you hit a home run into the upper deck about 450 feet. So I thank you for that, because every like on this video will help the video get more views. It gets the video more visible. It's not just because I want to be liked. It's because it helps get the video more visibility. So keep hitting that like button, even if you're not watching this live, because it will still help the video. So thank you for that. And on that note, let us go ahead and jump right into it. Let's do Be the Booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the Booker.
We got ourselves a special edition, a special Survivor Series edition of Be the Booker tonight. We're going to do something a little bit different, because what we are going to do in the spirit of War Games, we're going to book ourselves a men's War Games match and a women's War Games match. That is what we are going to do. We are going to do 5-on-5, so we're going to try to zip through this here. So the first five male superstars that I land on are going to comprise one War Games team, and then we'll do another five, and that'll be the other team. So I need you guys to keep track of this, in case I forget along the way. So let's pick our first team. We begin with Owen Hart. Owen Hart is on the men's War Games match, on the first team in the men's War Games match. Owen Hart will be teaming up with Eric Bischoff. My finger is already itching to hit the buzzer. Owen Hart, Eric Bischoff, Damian Priest. What is this team? My God. Owen Hart, Eric Bischoff, Damian Priest. Oh my God. Jeff Jarrett. Double J, Jeff Jarrett. And rounding out the team is Dave Meltzer. Wow. Owen Hart, Eric Bischoff, Damian Priest, Jeff Jarrett, and Dave Meltzer. Eric Bischoff and Dave Meltzer on the same team. Wow. Well, let's see who they're going to be up against. That's one team. Somebody write that down. Somebody write that down in the chat. On the opposite side, we have Bobby Lashley, starting out strong. We've got Broken Matt Hardy. All right, Lashley, Hardy. The phenomenal AJ Styles. I'm already liking this team. I think I know who's winning this match. Hulk Hogan. Oh, Eric Bischoff is going to definitely lay down in the cage for Hulk. No doubt about it. He's going to lay down. Oh, man. This is going to be a short War Games match. And rounding out their team is Vader. The man they call Vader. So what is that? Bobby Lashley and Vader on the same team with Hulk Hogan. Who are the other ones? Broken Matt Hardy, and I think there was one more. Against Dave Meltzer, Eric Bischoff, Jeff Jarrett, Owen Hart. I mean, this is a total squash, is what this is. Well, I mean, any team with Hogan is going to go over. You already know that. If you're on Hulk Hogan's team, you got to win. So there you go. I you know what? I'll give that the belt. We got some big names in that match, right? Hogan's name on the marquee back then still meant something. So there you go. There's your men. Oh, AJ Styles. Yes, AJ Styles. I mean, this is a squash, is what that is. I mean, that's about as lopsided as it gets. Now let's switch over to the women. I have a feeling this is going to end up being just a complete fucking disaster. But we did one for the men, so we have to do one for the women. I would not mind Bischoff taking a Vader bomb. Yeah, me neither. Got more super chats coming in. I'm going to be reading your super chats here. If you want to make the Survivor Series stream, you will live forever. Get those super chats in before we get out of here. All right, here we go. We begin with the TBS champion Jade Cargill. She'll be the team captain on one side. Jade Cargill going to be teaming up with Dakota Kai. She's a War Games veteran. It'll be her fifth War Games match for Dakota Kai. Jade Cargill, Dakota Kai. Nyla Rose. Uh-oh. We got Jade Cargill and Nyla Rose on the same team. We've got Chris Statlander. Boy, this is the team AEW over here. Chris Statlander. And we've got... Oh, it's Zombie Linda. It's Zombie Linda McMahon. Jade Cargill, Nyla Rose, Dakota Kai, Chris Statlander, and Zombie Linda on one side in the women's War Games match. Drugged up Linda McMahon. And let's go to the opposing side. We begin with, oh, look, it's Tombstone Tori, everybody. Remember, Kane had a girlfriend. It was Tori for a while until he tombstoned her. I'd like that Tombstone Tori. Tori, gonna be on one side of the equation. She'll be partnered up with... What is going on here in this image? Let me evaluate this image here. Oh, it's Jenna Maraska. There you go. Jenna Maraska applying her finishing hold in this image to Charmel. I'm not sure exactly. I believe she calls it the rug burn, I believe is the name of her finishing move. Well, if not, I just gave it that name. So we have Jenna Maraska. We have Ivy Nile of NXT fame. Ivy Nile here of Diamond Mine. We have Shayna Baszler. And last but not least, we have Kelly Kelly. That is a terrible War Games match. There's just no way around that. It makes Ronda Rousey against Shotzi Blackheart look like fucking Buddy. What was I going to say? I was going to say Buddy Rose. Not Buddy Rose. Buddy, oh my God, what's his name? Buddy Holly? Not Buddy Holly. The hell is that guy? Who's the guy I was thinking? I forgot. I had a name in mind and it just popped out of my head. Anyway, you know what? Moving on. Let's do Tag Team Be the Booker here. This will not be War Games. This is just going to be a straight tag team match. We begin with Hollywood, Hulk Hogan, and The Worm. Dennis Rodman. The NWO. Look at this. Too sweet. Hogan and... It was Buddy... It was Buddy Rogers. I don't know why I couldn't think of that name there first. I thought of Buddy Holly. I couldn't think of Buddy Rogers. Hogan and Rodman are going to be taking on the Street Profits. Why not? Just because that's an interesting match. And I think Montez Ford one day has the ability to be a world champion. The Street Profits against Hogan and Rodman. There's a unique match that you will only see here, exclusively, on Be the Booker. Never know what you're going to get. Boy, that women's match, holy shit, though. Wow. Holy shit. What more can be said? Del Fuego says, Be the Booker 5-on-5 War Game. Oh, you just got your wish. There you go, Del Fuego. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, unlike WWE, AEW does not have scripts. Scripts. Oh, wait until I talk about scripts on the podcast later today. Drew Johnson says, Solomonster, you are so funny. HBK is my hero. I don't know. You have a funny way of showing it. Jay Baker says, NXT is still crap under Shawn Michaels' reign. Yeah, it's pretty bad. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, I name the first men's team all heart but no stars. Except Owens, of course. Food Hive says, late to the party. Hope the PLE was decent. Look at Food Hive. Food Hive is showing up at 1:50 a.m. Always late to the party. And last but not least, Thomas with the $2. I thought it was the carpet muncher. No, it's the rug burn. You know, the motion that she was doing there. I call it the rug burn. You call it whatever you want. One last look here at the Twitter poll. Again, a pretty high score here for Survivor Series, so most people seem to enjoy this show. And finally, we can say that we have gotten War Games on the main roster, and honestly, with the Bloodline story, it could not have come at a better time. I'm going to be back with you live on Monday night after Raw, but I'm going to be with you tomorrow, which is actually today, because I have a podcast that I have to record in the next several hours, so good luck to me. That'll be episode 784 of the Sala Monster Sounds Off. We'll talk Survivor Series Fallout. I have to go back and watch the end of that women's match, the War Games match. So I may have some more thoughts about this show as I think more about what we saw tonight. We'll also talk about AEW. We'll talk about the Elite mocking, trolling CM Punk on Wednesday and why I was very much sports entertained by that. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about how Colt Cabana almost died in his match with Chris Jericho. We'll talk about Cain Velasquez. Remember him? And then he was arrested for trying to murder somebody. He's going to be wrestling. Oh, yeah. Next weekend, he's going to be wrestling for AAA. They're letting him out so he could wrestle. So we'll talk about that. And I'll talk about scripts and some of the stuff that happened on NXT this week. So again, episode 784. That'll be dropping tomorrow on all the usual audio platforms. I hope you will definitely tune in and download the episode. Thank you for your support tonight. You guys have been awesome. We have some more super chats here. Liquid Sharingan says, good pay-per-view. The first match was Botchamania. Keyshawn Johnson says, most prestigious wrestling championship. Are we talking today, right now? Most prestigious wrestling championship. You know, for a while, I would have said the IWGP Championship. I still kind of feel that way, to be honest with you. There's just something about that IWGP title where I still feel like it feels like the most important championship in all of wrestling. Maybe because it doesn't change hands as often as a lot of the other ones do. But, you know, in WWE now, we've had Roman Reigns have this extended run. AEW, it's played hot potato in recent months. I think I would still go IWGP. I think I'd still say the IWGP belt. Turtlehead says, now I am immortal. All right. And Drew Johnson with his Shawn Michaels appreciation tweet. And he puts the goat. Little goat emoji. That is a goat, right? It looks like a goat. Is that a fish? What is that? Maybe it's the Shawn Michaels Jesus fish that he's putting in there at the end. Now, that's a goat. That's a goat. Thank you, Drew. See, I thought you were going to reserve that emote for me. I feel let down by this. Be well. Stay safe. Have yourselves a great night. And we'll do it again real soon. Thanks for the love. I'll see you guys soon.